following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Welcome to Mamma Mia. I'm your host, DJ Stone, and together we'll be dissecting and analyzing the rise of Italian rock band Måneskin. Hello everyone, welcome to episode 3. Today we will be talking about Teatro de Ira, Volume 1, which is the third album by Måneskin and their second self-written album. This album started coming into fruition in 2020, and the first single on the album, called Ventani, which translates to 20, was released October 30th of 2020. So roughly 5 months or so-ish before the album itself came out, and the song did fairly well. As you can guess by the title, the song is about growing up and making mistakes and just being a young person in today's world. So it resonated a lot with the fans, and it was a good kind of opener to the album. I love the song. I found myself listening to the song a lot, not when I first heard it, but more recently, like when I was beginning college and stuff. I felt like it resonated more with me then because I listened to this song as a 16-year-old. And so while I still kind of, once I looked up the lyrics and kind of really listened to it, I related to it. But it was recently when I revisited the song that it stuck with me, and I understood it on a different level than I had before, which was really cool. I love having the opportunity to re-look at songs through different lenses because songs are subjective. I mean, there's obviously the meaning that the artist gives them, but once it's released into the world, it really is how people perceive it and how the song makes them feel. So I love when I, you know, forget about a song for a while and then I revisit it and I'm in a different mindset, different stage of my life, different whatever, and it just holds a different meaning. I think that's one of the most beautiful things about music, and it makes certain songs just completely timeless. And so I feel like I appreciate the song a lot more now than I ever did before. So that was in October, and the next single they released wasn't until March, and it wasn't until about 2 weeks before their album came out, which was Zitti e Buoni, which came out March 3rd of 2021. And this is the song that they performed in Eurovision. And we'll talk about that whole journey to getting to Eurovision and what happened after Eurovision next episode. But in summary, this song got them really, really, really popular. This was like the first song of theirs that went global, I'm going to say, went global. And this led to the catalyst to a lot of their other songs getting popular. One song that's on Teatro de Ira and another one that's on Chosen, which again, I mentioned before and we'll mention again in more detail. So Zitti e Buoni did well, and it did well 2 months later when they won Eurovision. So out of the two singles, I think they very much do represent the album really well. Some artists, and I don't think Måneskin has this problem, but some artists will release singles that don't really correctly let you know the vibe of the album, what you're getting yourself into. I know with the new Ariana Grande album, Eternal Sunshine, I very much had that experience because I felt like Yes And wasn't anything like the album, and I didn't like Yes and I really liked the album. So with the Måneskin singles on this album, I feel like you listen to those, you kind of know what you're getting into when you listen to the album. That being said, I do not think either of those two songs are the best songs on the album, but I don't think any other song would have been a good single, except for one of them, which is the fourth track. There's 8 tracks on the album. They're all in Italian except for 2 of them. I don't know what that percentage is, but a large percent of the songs are Italian, and this is their album that has the most Italian music on it, which I think they should go back to, but I don't make those decisions. The fourth track, which is an English song, is I Want to Be Your Slave, which to this day is either their first or second most popular song. I'm pretty sure it's their second most popular song. And this would have been a good single because it's in English, which is, I think, the reason why people gravitated towards it so much and loved it so much, because this got popular when Zitti e Buoni blew up. And people like that song, but because in Italian, a lot of people, and I don't understand this, obviously, but a lot of people who are native English speakers and maybe don't speak another language sometimes don't like to listen to music in other languages because they don't know what they're saying. Like, I have a few friends who, whether it's K-pop or Latin music or any language of music, French music, they just can't get into it because they don't know what they're saying. So I Want to Be Your Slave, on this very day, has almost a billion listens on Spotify. 981 million streams. So a very, very, very large number of streams. This song, it's kind of repetitive. I do like this song, and I don't know if it's just a like overplayed bias or I don't know. But it's not my favorite, and I feel like they have a lot stronger songs on the album. But again, I think it's that thing of it's very palatable. It sounds like Måneskin, it's just in English. So yeah, I wish that that wasn't the most popular one, but hey, people like it. It's a good song. So yeah, that song would have been a good single in retrospect. Not saying they should have done that anyways, but in retrospect, that would have been probably the only other song on this album that could have been a good single. For my personal opinions of the album, I have a lot of songs on this album that I really, really enjoy. Being it's 8 songs, I think there's maybe 5 or 6 of them that I'm like, these are perfect songs. That doesn't happen a lot for me either. I feel like I don't really believe in the no skip album thing. I think if you really think of albums, almost all of them have at least one skip. Because you're not going to always be in the mood to listen to every single song. So, liking the majority of an album is very good to my standards of music. My personal favorite song on this album, and I think this song is one of my favorite songs overall, like not just Måneskin, one of my favorite songs. This was my second most listened to song in 2022 and my number one listened to song on Spotify in 2021. And I think it still was in like my top 100 this past year, 2023. And funny enough, it's one of the song titles I have the most problems pronouncing because I don't know if you can tell, I have a slight lisp. So some words in Italian are really hard for me. This happens to be one of them. But the song is La Paura del Buio, which translates to roughly the fear of the dark. And this song, I don't really even know what it is about it, to be honest. I've racked through my brain about this. I racked through it before I started recording this about what stands out to me for it. And I just, it's one of those songs where, and I'm sure everybody can relate to this, and I have an experience like this with other songs too. It's one of those songs where it's just like you hear it and it just resonates with you. Like it just sticks with you. And with other songs, like it's lyrical. I hear a certain lyric or a certain phrase or a certain chorus, and it just like something about it just sticks with you. And so I had that experience with this song, but with the progression of the song and the instruments in the song. It starts with a very, I don't want to say eerie, but a very unique guitar riff. And then it goes into the main song. And the whole song kind of is like this up and down melodical song with a really in your face chorus and a really beautiful bridge. And La Paura del Buio, the bridge is very vocally challenging and it's very like, oh my god, they're good. Like not in that way, but I don't know how else to explain that. And so when I listened to this at first, it's the 7th track on the album, so I got through majority of it before hearing the song. So there are other songs before that I really liked and obviously kept me listening, but this song I like had to pause and I listened to it a few times. I was like, this song is really good. And so to this day, I wouldn't say it's my favorite Måneskin song. I say this a lot with songs that I love a lot from artists, is that songs can be one of my favorite songs ever, but they won't particularly be my favorite song from that artist. And I don't know if that's just a me thing, if that only makes sense in my head, but La Paura del Buio is one of those songs where, like I said, one of my top listened to songs. I think I've listened to it over like 600 times. I think that's the number. I have an app on my phone that tells me. I think it's like around 600. So a lot of times. So if you were to ask me like, what are your top 20 songs? This would probably make the list. But if you were to ask me like my top 3 Måneskin songs, I'm not too sure it's up there anymore. And again, this might only make sense in my head, but that's how I categorize songs. So this song is very special to me and I love the song a lot. I don't know if that's very apparent, but yeah, this song almost has a nostalgic feeling for me too, even though it was only 3 years ago, because I listened to this so much when it came out that I just associate that time of my life really heavily with this song. My other favorite song on this album is track number 2, Coraline, and it is a really deep song. I think it's one of their most beautiful lyrical songs. like, if somebody were to ask me for an example of their writing, I would send them this song, because this song is just so wow. Like, it's beautiful. It's beautifully written. The message is beautiful. It's really, really dark too, which is interesting. The synopsis of kind of the plot of the song is about this girl named Coraline who has a lot of problems. There's messages of suicide, depression, eating disorder, those kind of touchy topics. And it's through the perspective of somebody who wants to help Coraline. Coraline very similarly sounds a little bit like Marlena, but it's a different character. Yeah, it talks about having, like, wanting to get Coraline out of a bad situation and, like, wanting her to get better, but she doesn't want to get better herself. And before you even know the lyrics to the song, like, when I listen to this album, my Italian still to this day isn't that strong, but especially then, I knew, like, childhood stuff, and that's kind of it. So I didn't really know the messaging to this song. Even if you don't understand what they're saying, the instruments very much convey the feeling of the song. So it's a very melancholy, very, like, yearning song. And so when you read the lyrics, it's a thing of, like, oh yeah, of course that's the lyrics, but also, like, oh my God, that's the lyrics. Like, it's a really deep song. Like, it's really profound. And one thing about the song that I really, really like is that it has the same beginning and end. It has the same beginning verse and end verse, which I know a lot of artists utilize, but I think it's really perfect in this situation because you listen to it first and then you go through the entire journey of the song. It's a 5-minute song. And then you listen to it at the end and it kind of is like a different perspective. Like, you understand it more the second time. It's an effect in the song that leaves an impact on you. Like, you think about it after you listen to it. And so, yeah, those two songs are my favorite. The whole album is a complete rock album. Like, every single song on this album is rock, which is a big but understandable jump from their second album, I Ballo della Vita. Because again, like, that had rock undertones to it, but I definitely was more poppy, and this is just straight rock. So it still sounds like Måneskin, but it's so much more mature and elevated and just a better album, like, overall. It's shorter, but I think the conciseness of it also makes it, the conciseness works. And one thing about this album that I think is really interesting that's kind of like a lore piece to it is that there originally was supposed to be a volume 2. That was going to come out, I think they've said different, like, days or different months, but it was roughly, like, end of 2021, early 2022, before everything changed for them. Their lives changed very dramatically from March of 2021, when this album came out, and May of 2021, when Eurovision was. And again, that's for next episode. But once, you know, May kind of hit, I think volume 2 got lost in the mix. And I know that summer they still talked about volume 2, but just they focused more on the doors that were being opened for them than their original plan, which worked out for them. But I also sometimes wonder, like, what was on that album? I think some songs on Rush, maybe like 1 or 2, were on volume 2. Maybe. I feel like I've heard that. I don't shoot the messenger. But yeah, so I always, when I listen to this, I think it's kind of funny. And also, and this is more of a preview to the next few episodes, when you compare this album to their most recent album, you can tell they've had so much more life experience and that so much has happened to them, where this album just sounds so much different than their album, than their most recent album, Rush, in a good way, though. Not in, like, a they lost who they are kind of way, just in a you can tell they've had more opportunities to do stuff, which is so cool. It's so cool. So yeah, this album comes out while they're on the road to Eurovision, and like I said, between March 19th, 2021, when this song released, and Eurovision, it's a night and day difference in their lives. And next episode, episode 4, we'll talk more about the road to Eurovision, actual Eurovision, and the months that followed Eurovision, because wow. There's a lot. I it doesn't seem fair to put all of that in the same episode as the album. So we're going to give it its justice and talk about that next episode. So I will see you all then.